Luke chapter 6, if we can turn there now, Luke chapter 6, we continue our studies in the book of Luke. We're looking tonight at verse 37 through to verse 42. So again, Luke chapter 6. If we can read those verses together tonight, just a few there, verse 37 through and including verse 42. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37, as we read together. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you and bless you again for the opportunity to meet this evening. And as we've sung, Lord, there tonight, what a glory that would be if our Lord Jesus were to come tonight. What if it were today? And Lord, how wonderful that would be. As the Apostle Paul wrote, he was in a strait betwixt two, whether to part and be with Christ, which is far better. And Lord, we all experience that. Lord, we know there's a work to do here, and we desire to know and do your will here, but the other side is, Lord, we have a desire to part and be with you. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased now to bless our time as we look into this passage in your word. And Lord, grant the wisdom and understanding that we need. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. In verse 37 and 8, we see what we would call the sowing and reaping principle, I guess. But we'll go back first of all to verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And then he moves into judging and condemning and forgiving and everything else. So it starts with, we need to be merciful, amen. But in verse 37 he says, judge not. And this word judge can be used both in a positive or a negative way. All right, we need to understand that. And as we see we go through, he's not saying, and that's, I was reading a comment that one fellow made, and he said, judge not would probably be the most quoted verses in the whole world. Most times out of context, but generally it's sort of blasted out. Judge not, judge not. Well, that's okay. There's a place to say that as well. But have a look in Luke chapter 7. Just across the page, as it were, Luke chapter 7. I just want to just remind ourselves that God's not saying you should not judge, full stop, end of story, but certain aspects of judgment, which we'll see as we go along. But notice there in verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Right? So he's made a judgment. He's made a decision. He's looked at the situation, and the Lord's given him this example. He said, well, here's someone who's forgiven 500. Here's someone who's forgiven 50. Now, which one is most likely to love the Lord, his master, the most? And Peter says, well, I guess he that's forgiven the most, he said, well done. You've rightly judged. Okay, so again, that confirms for us that there is a place for judgment. Have a look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And notice in verse 24. See what our Lord Jesus says here. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgments. So is it wrong to judge? Not necessarily. But if we're going to judge, make sure that they are righteous judgments, right? The Lord's dealing with situations there, and the people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee, in verse 20. Well, the Lord begins to talk to him about that, and then he says, by the way, verse 20, if a man on the Sabbath receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? He said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgments. Is it right to heal someone on the Sabbath day? Is it right? Well, obviously it's okay to heal on the Sabbath day. So he says, when you judge, you've told me, you've said that I have a devil. Now just a minute. I've been doing things on the Sabbath day, and that's why you're judging me the way you're judging me. So that's not righteous judgment. That is just judging me according to the traditions of men. That's not righteous judgment. See the difference between the two. And so again, just by way of introduction, is it okay to judge? Yes, given the right situation, given that it's a right judgment, given that it's a judgment according to righteousness. So, one of the things about that is obviously that it needs to be based upon the facts, not on the feelings or personal preferences. Now, a lot of judgments are made based on a person's preference about something. That's not righteous judgments, right? Righteous judgments are judgments that are according to the Word of God, because they're right judgments. You see, they were guilty of making judgments that weren't right because they weren't according to the Word of God. They were according to the traditions of men, their own preferences. Again, so it's not feelings, it's not my personal preference. Now, one reason why we need to be careful about that, why? Judge not and you shall not be judged. Well, because if you're not judging properly, guess what? You'll be judged in a way that's not proper as well. That's what he's saying. That's the principle of sowing and reaping we see in this passage here. Okay, so when we get down to verse 41 and 42, we'll elaborate a little more on that, because it's dealing with this business of judging and how to judge. But notice the next thing he says, condemn not and you shall not be condemned. In other words, it's a little bit like this. I'm making a judgment, and the way I come across is, I am the judge. So I come across in a way that's condemning toward the other person. The Lord says, listen, condemn not and you shall not be condemned. In other words, if you want to tackle someone on the basis, listen, I know what's right. Be careful, because someone's going to come along to you and say exactly the same thing. That's what he's saying. The way you judge is how you'll be judged. If you want to be the judge and condemn people, guess what? Someone's going to come back and condemn you. That's what'll happen. Well, what happens next? He says, and forgive and you shall be forgiven. So if nothing else, if we're going to make some judgments, if we're going to make some condemnations, we better be careful that we do it with a forgiving spirit, amen? With a spirit that says, I'm here to help you, I'm here to encourage you, I'm here to be a blessing to you. And not a critical, condemning spirit. It's a spirit that has the spirit of forgiveness behind it. It's a spirit that says, I'm concerned for you. I'm trying to be a blessing. I'm trying to help you. There's a forgiving spirit there, you see. Otherwise what? Well, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven either. That's the other side of what he's saying, isn't it? He's saying you need to be careful how you judge. Be careful you don't become the judge. Be careful you have a forgiving spirit. So how do you know that? Well, have a look at the next verse. What does he say? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Notice this, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. If you want to have a judgmental spirit towards someone, guess what? Come back. If you want to have a I'm the judge kind of attitude, it'll come back. If you want to have an unforgiving spirit, it'll come back. Because the way you give, it'll come back, and it'll come back good measure, pressed down and overflowing. And so, again, it's the having the proper balance, isn't it? Having the right balance in this. Is it right to judge? The Lord said, well done, Peter, you made a good judgment there. You Pharisees, you're not judging righteously. He didn't say you shouldn't judge. He said you're not judging righteously. So what is he talking? Well, he's saying be careful. Here's the sowing and reaping again. Because how you give, it shall be given unto you. With the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. If I'm going to make a judgment, do I have the facts? Do I have the whole story? Have I spoken with everybody concerned before I start, blasting someone? It's important. Because once you've wounded them, it's hard to take it back, isn't it? Once you've said something, you go, oh no, I shouldn't have said that. Too bad, it's been said. And then guess what? You're going to have to start looking over your shoulder because it won't be long and you'll find the same thing. Why? Because how you give, it'll be given back to you. I like what this says about the giving side of things, how they used to do their measuring and what have you. This fellow Jeremias, he says, the measuring of the corn is a process which is carried out according to an established pattern. The seller crouches on the ground with the measure between his legs. First of all, he fills the measure 3/4 full, gives it a good shake with a rotary motion to make the grain settle down. Then he fills the measure to the top and gives it another shake. Next, he presses the corn together strongly with both hands. Finally, he heaps it into a cone, tapping it carefully to press the grains together. From time to time, he bores a hole into the corn and pours a few more grains into it until there's literally no more room for a single grain. In this way, the purchaser is guaranteed an absolutely full measure. It cannot hold more. How does that apply? Well, what does the Lord say? Give, it shall be given. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now, depending on how you gave is what you'll get back. But you'll get back what? A full measure. You'll get back a full measure. Good measure. It'll be pressed down and it'll be running over. That's how it'll come back. So I think we need to remember what James says. Let every man be what? Swift to hear and slow to speak. Slow to speak. If you've got a concern, that's okay, air it, but be careful, be slow to speak. So he goes on next and says, the Bible says, he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? The blind, the teachers, those who profess to be God's teachers, the Lord Jesus was constantly dealing with that, wasn't he? In the scriptures there we find that. Have a look, for example, in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, we find this truth being lived out there. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1 through 3, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which are of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? Okay, so he's dealing with an issue there. You go down to verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the man defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the man, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. Notice what he says next. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. Okay? These Pharisees, these scribes, they were teaching the traditions of men. In other words, they were false teachers. They were blind. And the Lord says, look, just let them go. Why? Because they're blind and they're leading the blind. And what will happen is they'll finish up in the ditch. They'll finish in the ditch. And so we remember often, as I say, Matthew 23, a number of times the Lord said to the Pharisees, like, you are blind, you are blind leaders, you are blind, you are blind leaders. So here he's saying in Luke, can the blind lead the blind? Well, it's one of those rhetorical questions that the answer is simple. No, they can't. Having said that, they can lead them, but not in the truth. All they do is lead them into the ditch. And so again, it's a matter of having some discernment, isn't it? Is this false teaching or not? Is this right teaching? We have to be careful about that. When I listen to other preachers, I listen very carefully. One reason is so that I might learn something. The other reason is because I'm on guard. I'm on guard. Because I think, hang on, I'm the shepherd. I need to be on guard. Because what did Paul say? There'll come a time when there'll be wolves bringing in false teaching. And he said, not only that, you Ephesian elders, there'll be some from within who'll come up and they'll be wolves trying to cause problems. And so as a pastor, I have the responsibility of being judgmental. I say that in the context of what we're talking about, you know, of listening and say, okay, what is that? And you know, the reality is, and my wife, I probably drive her crazy sometimes, but I said, you listen to these guys, and if you want to listen long enough, you can always find fault somewhere against what you think it should be said. And I won't dwell on it, but nevertheless, I find it interesting, you know. And some preachers come across a little more, you know, a little more authoritative than others. And those same people have their problems. I was reading a commentary today, and the first time ever, and this guy, I really love him, he just does a great job. And the first time ever, I put a little question mark there. So I don't know that I just exactly agree with that. You say, what was it? I don't know whether I'm digressing. It's still part of the message. He said, when it comes to judging, some people say you can't judge their motives. He said, that is ridiculous. And I went, what? I read it again. I thought, hang on. He said, well, you think about it. Here's the person standing in the witness stand before the judge and jury. He's killed someone. Now we have to work out, was it by accident or deliberate? And that's why he was saying, you know, you've got to work out their motives. Did he accidentally do it or did he deliberately do it? And I thought, man, that's going out on a limb, that is. Yes, it's true. They need to work out, was that accidental or deliberate? I understand that. But to say that, you know, to use that then and say, therefore we should be able to judge every motive. If you say you can't, that's ridiculous. Now there's a man who I really respect, but I went, not sure about that. When I wrote a little comment, I think he's maybe gone just a little too far on this one. Because we don't always know, and we don't know exactly what's in the person's heart. We don't know that. But yes, we can look on the outside. And I know I've shared the illustration many times about the lady in church, and the preacher said there's a problem with her, and there was no problem at all. He didn't know the circumstance. He'd made a judgment. And he assumed by what he saw he had the answer, and he was wrong. So again, we need to be careful how we do this. But the blind leading the blind. Okay, let's make sure that is this true? Is this really biblical teaching or not? Well, Why? Well, because we need the Word of God, don't we? We don't need someone's opinion. We don't know what... Well, I think this is probably what it says. No, no, no. We want, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. You see, the blind haven't got any light to share with you. And so there's no light entering. That's not the word of God. You know, thy word is a what? A lamp under my feet and a light under my path. And he says, these blind guys, he said, they don't know the truth. And the trouble is they're talking to other people who don't know the truth, and they're teaching them stuff that's not true, and they're leading them into the ditch. So therein is a problem, which obviously it is. So there's consequences following wrong teaching or that kind of thing, as we understand. It's interesting, again, I just quote this fellow Ryle. He said this, talking about this blind business. He said, the student will become as perfect or imperfect as his master or teacher, but not more so. He will certainly copy his errors and reproduce his faults. If you choose to follow blind guides, do not wonder if you never get beyond them and if you share in their final ruin. Okay? Now that follows exactly what the Lord said next. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now again, he's not talking sinless or anything else. We understand that. But if someone's going to be established as a proper disciple of his master, and we understand that to be the Lord Jesus, then we're not going to be above him, are we? But if we follow him, if we're not following the blind, if we're following our master, then as a disciple we will be perfect. We will be complete. We will be the disciple that the Lord wants us to be. And so then he goes on and brings back into this judgment again. Okay, verse 41 and 2. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Okay, what's he saying? Well, we need to be careful, at least one thing, about wrong judging. You know, the mote, the idea of that is just a little splinter, whereas the beam is a log. So here's this person, I'm about to go and deal with them, I'm about to go and pronounce judgment on them. And the Lord says, hang on, just before you do that, That person there has a splinter in their eye, but you actually have a log in your eye. Be careful. One reason is this: how often is the person who's doing the judgment guilty of the very same thing they're judging the other person about? You know, one reason why we recognise faults in other people, because we've got the same faults. It's easy to recognise because we're the same. I remember Dr. Smith telling a story one time. He said there was all sorts of trouble happening in the church at the time where he was pastoring, and he said the man in particular was causing all sorts of strife. He said it was unbelievable. And it just went from one thing to another. And he accused Brother Smith of committing adultery and all sorts of things. I mean, he was just going off. And then when the whole thing finally got settled, guess what? That man was already committing adultery with another lady. He's busy casting judgment and condemning the pastor, who wasn't doing any of that, but he himself was guilty of the very thing that he was criticising Brother Smith about. You know, I think we need to be careful, don't we? Before we get too far into judging, just stop a bit and say, Lord, before I say anything, is there a log in my eye? And if there is, what is it? I need to know, because this eye operation is very delicate. The eye is very sensitive. You don't go in, hey, let's have a look at your eye. Open up there, mate. Come on. No, you've got to be very careful, don't you? Very delicate operation, eye operations. Very sensitive area. And so we need to be careful. If we're going to operate on someone, we're better careful. We're doing very carefully, very delicately, very graciously, very gently, very forgivingly, very lovingly. And why? Why? Well, it speaks of hypocrisy, doesn't it? Why are you doing that when you've got a problem yourself? You know, like, what does he say down there? Verse 42, thou hypocrite. Why are you judging that person? You haven't even checked yourself out yet. Have a look, see how you're going. Yeah, but, no. So why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that's in thine own eye? How come you can't see that you've got a problem yourself? Why isn't you can't see it? Generally, it's a pride issue because we think we've got it. You know, I'm okay. I'm going to deal with them. Be careful. Make sure there's not a beam, not a log there first. Notice what he says next. Either how canst thou say to the brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye. It's like, you know, I'm the authority. Let me fix it for you. Oh, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Let's be an encouragement. Let's be a blessing, but let's not be the authority. Let me fix it. Let me pull out the mote that's in thine eye. And he says, how can you have that attitude when that thou thyself beholdest not the beam that's in thine own eye? The Lord says, now be careful, be careful. Don't come across, I'm the authority. You know, I've got all the answers. You know, so I've listened to some of these preachers and I think, oh, be careful, be careful, be careful. You've got a few little beams there. You've got a few little issues there. You know, you say this and that, but then when I look at it, I go, hang on, that's not what the Bible says. Or that's not even in the Bible. Be careful, be careful. Let me pull out the mote. I'm the authority. One thing we have to understand, don't we, that there are areas which are outside of our authority. As a pastor, there are areas in your lives that I don't have any authority in. I can't come to you and say, from now on, you will not be on your mobile phone or whatever. If I had my way, I'd throw them all in the bin. But I don't have authority for that, do I? That's outside my authority. Now, if someone was sitting in here with their mobile phone on talking it, I've now got some authority. Excuse me, turn your phone off, please, or take it out, one of the two. And maybe just leave it out there. Don't bring it in during the service. That way it won't buzz accidentally. Now, I've got some authority there. But outside, I don't have that same authority. You say, well, you're judging that person. No, we're just saying this is not acceptable here. Yes, I'm making a judgment in that sense. We don't need mobile phones buzzing off during the preaching or the singing or anything else. Leave it outside and then afterwards go out and check it if you have to, if it's that important, you know. I don't know how people live without their phones, you know. You've got to operate to get it off. My. But, again, the point I'm making is, let me, now just a minute, make sure that that is within your domain for you to make a judgment with that person. Make sure that's part of your responsibility. And I could go on with, and you know, we could all go on with all sorts of things that we maybe don't agree with some other believer. But if it's outside my authority, then be very careful how I talk to them about it, if I talk to them about it at all. All right? Why? Because the way you talk to them, it'll come back. It'll come back. And the way you judge, you'll be judged. If you come across condemning, guess what? Someone will come and condemn you. If you're not a forgiving spirit, it'll come back. And the Lord says, you're just a hypocrite. You need to get the log out first before you worry about the splinter over there. And so deal with our own log first. And then again, as we've already said, is our judgment according to the facts, is it accurate? Is this just something I've perceived or is this something I know to be fact? And it's important that we make sure of that as well, because otherwise we can very easily make judgments which aren't right, or they're only half right. We need to get the whole story, so that means get the beam out. It's interesting what Simeon once said, Charles Simeon, an old preacher from years gone by. He said, not unfrequently, and this is talking about the needing to be accurate, not unfrequently do men form a judgment without any just or adequate grounds. This is back in the day, so there's no new thing under the sun. There is a strong propensity in the human mind to indulge prejudice and to harbour unkind thoughts both against individuals and bodies of men without any specific reason. Interesting, isn't it? What's the problem there, Mr. Simeon? They haven't got the log out their own eye yet. They've got their own prejudices and their own ideas that they're promoting, as it were. In other words, what? They're wrong judgments. And you know, one of the other problems that I've observed over the years with wrong judgments? They often become the source or the root of gossip. That's what happens. I don't like to say this, but brother so-and-so, I've spoken to him, but he's not listening. You better pray for him. Oh, really? sister, you know, she means well, but I've spoken and she's not listening to me. Just a minute. Be careful. First of all, you've got to make sure your judgment's right. And then if it is, make sure you keep it within the bounds it's supposed to be. I've got a problem with that person. I don't have to tell everybody else. See what happens? And it becomes a little gossip monger. It begins to wind up. And then, brother, let me tell you something. And away we go. Hang on, just a minute. You know what's going to happen? You're going to hear some stories about yourself one day. You say, hang on, I never did that. How'd that happen? Well, you are reaping what you sowed. Now, people are going to say things about you whether you like it or not. I understand that. You know, I've had all sorts of... We've been long enough. You know, someone said, I hear you, you know, you've left your wife. I said, really? Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah, good, okay. What else? The stories are out there. I understand that. We're not talking about that. That's always going to happen. There's going to be people who are going to gossip and tell lies. We're talking about as a response to making wrong judgments or judgments that aren't according to righteousness. Be careful. Keep it with the parties concerned. Now, yes, sometimes it's okay to go to someone and say, look, I'm just talking to a brother. I'm not going to say who it is, exactly what it's about, but, you know, I'm just wondering how I should tackle this situation. That's okay. There's wisdom within counsel. The Bible tells us that. No problem with that. But we just have to be careful how we do it. I guess in all that, just in closing, we need to go back to verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Amen. That's the golden rule. As you would have them judge you, you make sure that's how you judge them. If they're going to condemn you, make sure that's how you. With forgiveness, make sure. Why? Because it'll be good measure, pressed down, overflowing, and it'll come back. So, is it the way you'd want them to judge you? If it is, go for it. Graciously, caringly, compassionately, and forgivingly. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight and the word of God. And Lord, these are very practical truths, Lord. We all live within this framework, Lord. We're all in the same situation, as it were, Lord. We're just creatures that we have our opinions, we have our ideas, and Lord, we need to remember these biblical premises, these biblical truths. When we talk about judging, yes, there is righteous judgment. Yes, Simon, you made the right judgment there. Yes, but there is a wrong kind. As we see in those latter verses, first of all, we need to examine our own hearts and lives. and then make sure that we have all the facts and all the figures and everything else. And on it goes, Lord, many things we've touched on. And Father, I pray we might take home that which you'd have for each one of us tonight, that which would cause us to be a little more like the Master, a little more like our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, that we might be the perfect disciples that you'd have us be. And Father, we give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.